ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सो दिस चैप्टर 7 is called as Light of Wisdom. Now, the entire philosophy in Advaita Vedanta has been that every one of us are plunged in ignorance, and the only solution for that is gaining the knowledge. Only when we bring in the light, the darkness will go. Similarly, only when we bring in the knowledge and convert that into wisdom, the ignorance will go. But for bringing in the knowledge, converting that into wisdom, we need to be more prepared. The mind and the body, intellect, everything needs to be prepared. Without preparation, if we plunge into gaining the knowledge, we won't be able to convert that into wisdom. So, we need to understand the importance of Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, all that was discussed in the previous chapters, exigency of action, and then next one is that emotions, strength of emotions, purification of emotions, that is through bhakti. When you start understanding that it is the Atma that has manifested itself as this universe, Brahman that has manifested itself as this universe, then you will identify with each and every being as your own being. Then you will develop universal love. That is bhakti. You won't hate any being. So to the extent you have such qualities, you will be able to gain the knowledge and then make that knowledge your own through reflection and contemplation. See, even to sit in this class peacefully without any distraction for 1 hour is such a big task many times. Especially if you are sitting and doing this class online like this, it's even more difficult. Because once we come and sit in a classroom, at least our mind is prepared and so many others are sitting next to us. It helps us in focusing. At home, you know, it's a completely different environment. All kinds of disturbance can come. Firstly, you yourself, depends on the person to person, but you might have not put the phone in silent mode. You might have kept the door open so that anybody can come in and talk to you while the class is going on. You know, the possibility of distraction is very high. When there is more distraction, the less intake of knowledge and imbibing of knowledge, of converting the knowledge into wisdom. So mind has to become relatively quiet. So you have to achieve that through Karma Yoga and change the quality of your mind through Bhakti Yoga. Then come to Jnana. But Jnana here means not just knowledge, it's wisdom. Knowledge is gained from outside. Wisdom is acquired through independent reflection from within. Knowledge is tuition, wisdom is intuition. Knowledge is volatile, wisdom is non-volatile. Yeah. Knowledge you forget, but wisdom will always travel with you. In every aspect of your life, it will be with you. It is not volatile, it is non-volatile. And knowledge is theory, wisdom is practice. You know, there's enough of talking, now living. To the extent you have gained the wisdom, you will be living. Living in the sense, in any situation, a pregnant lady will never ever forget, even while she asleep, she will never forget that she is pregnant. Even when she's turning, she'll be aware, she'll be careful. Similarly, once you get wisdom, that'll always travel with you in any situation, it'll not leave you. So in this chapter, he talks about the importance of wisdom, how to gain the wisdom, what one needs to do, etc. Wisdom should not be misunderstood as just information. Wisdom means transformation. So therefore, we need to acquire jnana yogyata and then gain jnanam and then convert that into vijnanam. Jnanam is vishesha, vishesha jnanam. Special knowledge. What is special knowledge? Special knowledge is living knowledge. We understand. Internalized knowledge. So, with this background, let's get on to this topic, veil of ignorance. What Vedanta says is, the problem is everyone is covered by ignorance of the self. Now this has to be removed. When the veil is removed, you are actually discovering the self. There is nothing to achieve. You are already Atma, you are already Brahman, you are already infinite. But out of ignorance, we think ourselves to be this limited individual. So that veil has to be removed. But for the veil to remove, the person has to be available. The person is so preoccupied and very busy running helter-skelter. The ignorance won't go. Only when you're quiet can you contemplate. That's why they say, it's okay, no problem, get back to the world, work, become contented, then come. In a way, that's why it takes a lot of people practically to become mentally mature. With age only they become mentally mature. So a lot of old people kind of take to Vedanta. Like two kinds of old people take to Vedanta. One is matured, other is people who are old and has become very pessimistic. They take to Vedanta just for solace. But whereas the other person who has gone through experience and has understood, they take to Vedanta purely to evolve, you know, not because of some dejection or some sorrow or suffering. So therefore, this veil has to be removed. And the guru can only give you knowledge. With the knowledge, you cannot remove the veil. You, the Shishya, has to put in effort, convert the knowledge into wisdom, then with wisdom, the ignorance will go. Otherwise, it won't go. So he talks about all that here. Start reading from the beginning. Yeah, Shweta, you can go ahead and read.
Veil of ignorance. There is but one reality, the Supreme God, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent Brahman. Beyond the sphere of time, cause and beyond the sphere of time, space and causation. Though all-pervading, God is located in the self within. Just as a government spreads all over the country, is located in its capital. The philosophy of Vedanta gradually instills the knowledge of the self, by which you transcend the limitation of your body, mind, intellect and merge with your supreme self. You regain your infinite being.
So the first thing what Vedanta says is, there is only one reality. The definition of reality is that which existed in the past, continues to exist now in the present, and will continue to exist in future as the same. Now you put anything in this universe to this test of reality, nothing stands this test of reality. Because everything is constantly changing. So that one unchanging phenomenon, which is all-pervading, endless consciousness, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, all-pervading Brahman. With reference to time, space and causation, it is eternal, all-pervading, endless. That pure consciousness is everywhere. But if you want to realize that, you have to go within, just like you want to deal with the government which is everywhere, you have to go to the center. the capital. That's all it is. So you need to therefore move from the periphery to the center. What is lying at the periphery? The body, the mind, the intellect. So you've got to cross these boundaries of body, mind, and intellect and regain the self within. Now, this crossing means, very interesting, all of us are stuck only in the periphery. In the periphery, there is so many attractions, instant joys. We fall for it. You know, it's like this. Many times, when you go to the supermarket to buy something, the really needed stuff, like your grocery, your vegetables, will all be somewhere inside, as if you have to do treasure hunt to find out where it is. Whereas all the useless stuff, buy one, get one free, all unhealthy stuff, you know, which is not really a need, those will be displayed with so much of attraction in the beginning. So when you're pushing the trolley and going in, you will be attracted to these things. And they will give you a free sample also. Please eat. And then you will feel guilty that you've eaten something, so you need to buy. You know? So, in the sense, you will be buying all the stuff without doing the real purchase of what you actually came for. By the time you want to buy the real stuff, you may not have time, or you might have run out of money, or patience, whatever. You know. So, exactly the same thing is happening. We are all stuck at the periphery. Seldom people go to the center. So, he says, Vedanta helps you to cross the boundaries of the body, mind, intellect, and then take you and merge you with the self within. You regain your infinite being. Continue.
Ignorance of the one reality projects the pluralistic phenomena of the world, just as the ignorance of a rope lying in the dark projects an illusionary snake. It is the reality, Brahman alone, that appears to you as the universe. The creation of the universe, therefore, is brought about by the ignorance of your intrinsic primal nature. With the dawn of knowledge of your true self, the entire world folds back. You merge with the supreme, all-pervading reality.
So, what he's saying is, the truth is, there is only one reality. There is nothing else. But upon that reality, this world is projected. Just like how upon a rope, a snake is projected. No? Upon a rope, a snake is projected. Similarly, upon the truth or Brahman, the world is projected. Now, whenever we talk about projection, we must remember one thing. The object projected must have similar qualities of the object underlying as reality. You cannot project a snake upon a boulder. You cannot project an elephant upon a rope. What are the qualities of a rope? 5 feet long, black in color, coiled. Huh? 5 feet long, black in color, coiled. 3 inches thick. What are the qualities of the snake? Same thing. 5 feet long, 3 inches thick, black in color, coiled. What are the qualities of a boulder? Huge structure, which can be misunderstood as an elephant, because the qualities will match. So, now when you analyze this world, what is this world made up of? Time, space, causation. What is time? eternal. Can you say when did time begin? You can't say at 8 o'clock time began. You can't put time before time. It's a fallacy. Similarly, where does space begin? You can't say here, this place, the space begins. Then you're putting space before space. Similarly, causation. Whether the chicken came first, or the egg came first, or the tree came first, or the seed came first, who's my father's father's first father? You can't say that. So therefore, time is eternal, space is all-pervading, causation is endless. What are these? All these are infinite, referring to infinity, which is Brahman. Brahman is eternal, all-pervading, endless. So Vedanta says, there is only Brahman, and due to the ignorance of the Brahman, the reality, you have projected this world. You have projected this world. Ignorance of one reality projects the pluralistic phenomena of the world. Now, will you project every time? No. Only at a conducive time, maybe evening, you are walking and it's getting dark already. And you also saw some bad movie, horror movie, something like that. So there is some fear, the mind is disturbed, and it's very gloomy externally and internally. And suddenly there is a snake, a rope lying on the ground, you may mistake it for a snake. So in a conducive environment, you misunderstand it for a snake. Similarly, with the mind and all that, going through worries, anxieties, sorrow and all that, you misunderstand the reality to be Brahman. Only when the mind becomes calm will you see the things as they are. As long as the mind is not calm, you won't see things as they are. That's all it is. Just as the ignorance of a rope lying in the dark projects an illusory snake, Brahman alone that appears to you as the universe. The creation of the universe therefore is brought about by the ignorance of your intrinsic primal nature. Intrinsic nature is what? Infinite. But you are ignorant of it. And then, out of that ignorance, you project yourself to be this limited individual. Shweta, Ami, Madhushri, Lakshmi Narayan, etc. And then he says, with the dawn of knowledge, your true self, the entire world falls back. You see, there is this excellent text in Tamil called Thirumular's Thirumandiram. The text is called Thirumandiram. It is given by Thirumular, a great rishi. In that one of the shlokas come like this. Marathai maraithadu mahamadayane. Marathil maraindadu mahamadayane. Parathai maraithadu parmudal bhudam. Parathil maraindadu parmudal bhudam. Meaning, maram means wood. Marathai maraithadu mahamadayane. The elephant covered the wood. That's the first line. Then, second line. Marathil maraindadu mahamadayane. In wood, the elephant dissolved. What is this? The elephant is made of wood. Okay. Like if you go to Kerala, you'll see all this. Elephant is made of wood. Now when a person is seeing the elephant, he doesn't see the wood. So the wood is covered by what? Nama Rupa. Because the elephant is made of wood only. And the entire thing is made of wood. We don't see it as wood, na? Oh, nice elephant. Nice peacock. I don't know what all is made out of wood. So you will be lost in the projected form and name. Whereas, upon careful look upon at the elephant, you will see the wood. And when you see the wood, what happens? The elephant dissolves. Nama Rupa dissolves. That's all it is. At the dawn of knowledge, you, of the self, the entire world falls back. All the projection falls back. You merge with the supreme, all-pervading reality. So all we need to do is, the only obligation we have is to gain this knowledge. And to gain that knowledge, we need to become introverted. For which Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga and all other preparations help. After that, the only thing is important is knowledge. Once you gain the knowledge, you will be completely different fellow. You won't be lost in the samsara like this before. Continue.
The ignorance of self keeps you in darkness all through your life. Groping in the self-created deluded world, you get the knocks and shocks of life. Imagine yourself moving about in a room plunged in darkness. You would strike against niches and notches, fittings and furniture, and injure yourself. So too, you grope in ignorance in the world and suffer the pangs of sorrow and misery. The solution to this problem is to bring light into the room, the light of wisdom into your bosom. Gain the knowledge of your supreme self. It is ignorance that converts the kingdom of heaven into a veritable hell. You may use your body to enjoy sensual pleasure, your mind to indulge with emotional joy, your intellect to entertain with knowledge. They may give you some temporary satisfaction, no more. These material equipments cannot provide you with enduring peace and happiness. The knowledge of self alone can reach you to that eternal abode of bliss.
So, what is keeping you in this darkness? Your ignorance. And because of this ignorance, we are completely attached to the things in the world and then going through suffering. Going through knocks and shocks. He says, it is like a person lost in a dark room. And while he is trying to move around in the dark room, he is hitting his body against the corners, the furnitures. And he is complaining, who's put these chairs here? Who's put these tables here? Instead of that, he should just switch on the light. Then he'll be able to move around without getting affected. Similarly, we are all getting affected because these truths we have not understood correctly. When you understand, you won't get attached. And when you won't get attached, you won't suffer. In fact, you will enjoy. So that's why he says, with ignorance, when you get attached to the world and start running after the worldly pleasures through the body, mind, intellect, he says, they may give you temporary satisfaction, but no more. They will in fact give you more agitation over a period of time. These material equipments cannot provide you with enduring peace and happiness. The knowledge of self alone can reach you to the eternal abode within, the bliss within. The bliss within can be achieved only by gaining the knowledge along with your experiences, then develop the detachment. That's it. Once you gain the detachment, you are qualified to gain the knowledge. Then you will put in the efforts and gain the knowledge and convert that into wisdom. Continue.
The ignorance of self generates endless desires. The desires develop into several modifications like greed, lust, delusion, arrogance, envy, hatred, anger at the gross level. Or into aim, ambition, aspiration at the subtler level. All these passions hold you a hostage to the world. You are thereafter bound in the terrestrial realm of desire and ambition. The way out of your bondage and consequent suffering is to dispel the darkness of ignorance. The knowledge of yourself provides the light of wisdom which discharges your desires and worldly clinging. This light glows eternally within you. Light you are. You need not seek or pray for light. You gain the light through study, reflection, contemplation upon the truths of life laid down in Vedanta. Approach them freely, independently, with no bias. Let your intellect examine, analyze and accept the truths on their own merit. The process of learning will gradually unveil the self within. The knowledge of self thus dispels ignorance, resurrects your divine being.
So in other words, the only solution for a person who is plunged in dark room is switch on the light. Once the light is switched on, the person will be able to move around freely without getting knocks and shocks. Similarly, without going through the sufferings out of attachment, if we switch on the light, the knowledge within, everything will be solved. So the solution is knowledge. That's all. Vedanta says, the solution is knowledge. You have to gain that light through how? Through study, reflection and contemplation. Studying is only the first step. Contemplation is the second step. Third step is meditation and liberation. So therefore, he says, there is no other choice for you except gaining the knowledge. You have to approach the knowledge freely, independently, with no bias. How can it be? Don't be doubtful. Then think about it later. Question. First, listen to what these masters have to say. So, he says, the process of learning will gradually unveil the self within. It won't happen tomorrow itself. That's why a lot of people think, you know, there is a shortcut. There is no shortcut. No shortcut. He says you have to approach this freely with no bias. Let your intellect examine, analyze and accept the truths on their own merit. The process of learning will gradually unveil the self within. The knowledge of self thus dispels ignorance, resurrects your being. Slowly, slowly, the knowledge that goes in will remove the ignorance. You will develop tremendous courage. Slowly, slowly, you will drop your attachments. As a result, you will see there will be remarkable rise in the experience of joy in your life. Nothing has drastically changed outside. Just through the knowledge, you removed the certain cancerous cells. You again start becoming healthy. Continue.
Knowledge and ignorance differ in degree, not in time. The higher rung of the ladder is knowledge, while the lower is ignorance. They are relative terms like light and darkness. Light and darkness are also different in degree, not in kind. The electric light is bright compared to the dullness of candle light. The same electric light becomes dull across the brilliance of sunlight. Light and darkness, knowledge and ignorance, therefore, are like the positive and negative terms used in mathematics. Along the x-axis or y-axis, a point is said to be positive with reference to its negative side. The same point becomes negative with reference to its positive side. Similarly, the knowledge you possess is considered as knowledge only with reference to the lower level of knowledge. The same would be viewed as ignorance with reference to the higher level of knowledge. Therefore, all knowledge acquired in the world falls in the realm of ignorance vis-a-vis the absolute knowledge of the self. Thus, when you attain the state of self-realization, your ignorance is completely wiped out. You become totally free from desire, suffering and sorrow. You attain the abode of everlasting bliss. Hence, the reality discovered in your supreme self is said to be absolute existence, knowledge, bliss.
So what he's saying here is, knowledge varies only in degree, not in kind. Somebody is little more educated, somebody is little less educated. But all are lurking in darkness only. Somebody is in 10th standard, somebody is in 7th standard. Compared to the fellow who is in 7th standard, 10th fellow knows more. But there are others who are in degree, they know more than the 10th graduate, 10th fellow. Similarly, there are people in PhD, they know more than this degree fellow. So similarly, in this world, knowledge is only varying in degree, knowledge and ignorance. But what varies in kind is wisdom. Once you gain wisdom, you vary in kind. In the sense, you've woken up from the dream. Within the dream, somebody is PhD, somebody is 10th standard, somebody is degree holder, etc. But when you gain the knowledge of the self, it is like waking up. Once you've woken up, you are not in the dream anymore. So he's asking us to wake up by gaining this knowledge, by converting it into wisdom, not get just stuck with information. Somebody has more information than the other. What's the big deal? So the idea is to rise above and completely wipe out the ignorance. For that, you can only gain that through converting the knowledge into wisdom. That's all it is. The knowledge, similarly, the knowledge you possess is considered as knowledge only with reference to the lower level of knowledge. But what is the point? Like elsewhere in the Gita, he says, tamasic fellow lost in indulgence. Rajasic fellow is lost in acquisition. Sattvic fellow is lost in gaining knowledge, happiness. You know, I want more Vedanta knowledge. There is other class going on. Can I attend? Or happiness ko mujhe bata do, de do, aur de do. Sukham chahiye. That fellow is also looking for something like that. I want peace. I don't want fight. You know? What are you searching? You are also searching. You are also hungry. They are also hungry. They think pizza will satisfy them. Somebody is thinking pasta will satisfy them. You are saying curd rice will satisfy them. Vedanta is saying you are already full. You understand? You are thinking curd rice will satisfy. So you are saying, I am better fellow. That is a big danger. At least those fellows are saying, theek hai, kya kare? You are interested in junk. You understand? And you will say, I am eating only curd rice, I am very sattvic. Aur jada ignorance mein, we will all live. You know? But that's all he is saying. Therefore, we have to shake up all this, not get stuck in just collecting information. We should focus our attention in converting this information into wisdom. That's all he says. What is the proof of wisdom? Sri Krishna said the same thing in the Gita. Asochan anvasochastvam prajnavadamsa bhashase katasun agatasun na anusochanti panditaha. The wise people grieve neither for the living nor for the dead. And Arjuna, you are talking words of wisdom, but mourning those people who don't deserve to be mourned for, their death. So in other words, there is only knowledge, there is no wisdom. That's why he says, you need to gain the knowledge. And once you gain the knowledge, immediately your suffering, your sorrow, complaining ends. You won't complain. Suffering ends doesn't mean the problems don't exist. No, problems may exist. But the problems will not have the same capacity to cause you the sorrow like before. I know so many people who are into business. And with this Vedantic knowledge over a period of time, with the kind of loan and problems they have in their business, they look very cheerful, very, very positive. That is because of the digestion of this knowledge. Otherwise, you cannot sleep. You cannot sleep peacefully. Continue.
The infinite state of existence, knowledge, bliss is your essential being, your intrinsic nature, yourself, Atman, which you constantly refer to as I. I am a child. I am a boy. I am a man. I am an old man. I perceive, I feel, I think. I am the person in the waking state. I am the person in the dream. I am the person in sleep. The I never leaves you. The self has been with you forever. You can never lose it. Nevertheless, you believe you have lost yourself. You feel bound by the limitations of your body, mind, and intellect. And persecuted by the ever-changing world. This is an erroneous belief. The truth remains that you are eternally free, never bound, never harassed by the world. All the bondage and harassment you go through are as imaginary as that of your dream. You may dream that you are suffering from penury and starvation, but it is all your imagination, brought about by the ignorance of your waking state.
So this is your second chapter of the Gita. There he says, Natve vaham jatu nasam natvam neme janadipaha nachavena bhavishyamaha. He says, never indeed was I not, nor you, nor me, none of us will cease to be hereafter, having been. So he says, the I continues. Like you say, I am a child when you were a child. Then you say, I am a boy. Then you say, I am a young man. Then you say, I am an old man. Child is different from the boy. Boy is different from the young man. Young man is different from the old man. Yet the I continues to be the same. The desires of the child was completely different from the boy. Similarly, desires of the boy is completely different from the man. The desires of the man is completely different from the old man. Isn't it? When you are young, you might want to conquer this and that. And you become old. You say, Are Baba, without anybody's help, if I can eat, can I move around, that itself is a big achievement. That is enough. You know? You talk to these old people, they'll tell you, I should be able to sit on the dining table and eat myself. I should take the plate to wash it. And then keep it there, you know. If I can do it myself without anybody's help, I'll be fine. Completely different personalities. When you are young, you say, I want to go there, this thing, I want to conquer that thing. Completely different fellow. You understand? But I continues to be the same. So that's why he says, you are that ever existing reality. That which always exists. But you unfortunately tied yourself to this changing phenomenon of this body, mind, intellect and feel the limitations caused by them because of your attachment. So he says, you feel bound by the limitation of your body, mind and intellect and persecuted by the ever-changing world. All the bondage and harassment you go through are as imaginary as that of a dream, as that of your dream. In the dream, you have imagined yourself to be some other personality, suffering from poverty and penury, no bank balance, houses come for japti, nothing is there for you. Nobody is getting married to you. All that you are dreaming. When you wake up, you understand all these are useless. It's all imagination. It's all this. All this bondage and harassment you go through are as imaginary as your dream. So who is binding you? What is the cause of your binding? Attachment. Where is this attachment coming from? Ignorance of your true self. So ignorance of your true self causes attachment. Attachment causes sorrow and suffering. So therefore he says, you want to come out of this nonsense, you have to gain the knowledge. You may dream that you are suffering from penury and starvation. It is all your imagination brought about by the ignorance of your waking state. Similarly, all this suffering is because of the ignorance of your true self. That is Vedanta's temper. Continue.
Similarly, the suffering and sorrow of this waking world that you complain of is just another projection of your mind, a result of your ignorance of the self. Your self is absolute, immaculate, ever blissful. You are ignorant of your supreme being. You have hypnotized yourself to believe you are the body, mind and intellect, and taken upon yourself their limitations and ordeals. Imposed a self-inflicted suffering and sorrow. This is ridiculous, absurd. You must put in all effort to dehypnotize yourself by asserting your real self. The body, mind and intellect are mere vestures enveloping your supreme being. They are your possession. They belong to you. You are the immaculate self. You must assert and regain your essential nature. Become your supreme self. Be ever free, ever blissful.
See, all knowledge, whatever we may discuss in Vedanta, you will find it a lot of theoretical. But this example when they give about the dream and the waking, that's when it hits you powerfully. Because rope and the snake and all is outside example. Boulder and elephant and all is outside example. But the dream example is what you go through every day, every night in the sleep. And you have gone through many dreams, you know. Yesterday somebody was telling me in Chennai here, they dreamt that one of our common friend died. You know, and we are rushing to their house, to the fellow's house, and as we go there, I believe the body is being taken for cremation, and we are sitting in the car and looking at the body, and supposedly the body smiled. Cute. You know, all this can happen in the dream. Don't ask me how it happens. In the dream, anything is possible. But with shock you wake up, right? Somebody so close to you, dead, my God, man, you'll wake up with such a shock. You may even sweat sometimes. Then you come to the terms and say, my God, man, it was a dream. Thank God it was a dream. Isn't it? But it felt so real for you. That's exactly what Vedanta said. You are now feeling this world, this pangs, this pain, this suffering, this joy, everything to be real. Just like how the dreamer felt when the dreamer was in the dream world. The flora, the fauna, the joy, sorrow, praise, disrespect, everything. The person was going through and it was affecting the person. But when the person wakes up from the dream and becomes the waker, nothing affects. Nothing affects. So that's all it is. No. The waking world is just another projection. That's it. So he says, all this is just a projection. And all this is self-inflicted pain. All this is nothing but self-pain. Continue.
The Atman, your divine self, is the core of your person. It vitalizes your body to act and perceive, your mind to feel, and your intellect to reflect, contemplate. The self is the abode of everlasting peace and bliss. You are unaware of it and stay disturbed, sorrowful. You behave like the lady who lamented the loss of her precious necklace. The lady was in great distress. She searched every nook and cranny of her house. Exhausted with her search, she sat down in the corner weeping bitterly. Her husband found her in that pathetic state. He inquired as to the cause of her misery. She declared her terrible loss. Her husband was calm and composed. He looked at her rather confused and added, What then is around your neck? The lady glanced at it and felt abashed. She found her necklace, which was never lost. This, in short, is the plight of mankind.
So, because of this ignorance, we are deluded to believe that we are this body, we are this mind, we are this intellect. While actually, this body, mind, intellect, they are our possessions. In fact, when you go deeply, they are not even our possessions. Vedantic point of view is, you are Atma and not this body, mind, intellect. And nor this body, mind, intellect yours. There is only pure consciousness, nothing else. That is at a very deep level. So, you got to be hypnotized. Somehow we got hypnotized. How do you get hypnotized? Without thinking, you just surrender to somebody, they'll hypnotize you with something. Like, you know, you're tired, you're watching the TV. They go on showing some advertisement. And you start believing that that cream will make you fair. You understand? You believe. That's what it is. You are hypnotized. Because you don't question. You are not aware, you are not alert, you don't question, you just allow. And you get hypnotized. Similarly, we have got hypnotized. So he says, no, you have to de-hypnotize. How? Understanding that Atma is your core. That is your center. You have to constantly assert and negate. Assert the reality, negate the unreal. Assert the reality, negate the unreal. Constantly it must happen. Through your body, mind, intellect. You have to bring in a lifestyle wherein you assert the reality, negate. But what we are doing is completely different. Little bit we study and then forget about it. No assertion, no negation. Suddenly, you think, how will it happen? Through the life, do you assert the reality and negate the unreal? You don't, na? So that's all it is. Your divine self is the core of your person. It is that which vitalizes the body, track, perceive, mind to feel, and intellect to think, contemplate, reflect. In fact, you are, self means you. You are the one who is behind the body, behind the mind, behind the intellect and enabling that to act, feel, think, contemplate. Yet you are unaware of it. Because you've been made to believe that you are a slave. With that mentality, you grow. The day you question, everything changes. The day you sit back and think, everything changes. So that's all it is. Yes, there is nothing to gain. You are already the self. This example is very common in Vedanta. You know that necklace example. Lady was searching for it. And then the husband says, hey, what is it around your neck? Because you are searching for it everywhere, not within. You have to become a little bit tired. Otherwise you will continue searching. When you become a little tired, then we can say, hey, look at your own neck. It's already there. You are so busy looking for it. Looking for the truth. As long as you are looking for it, you will not find it. That's all it is. So he says, her husband was calm and composed. He looked at her rather confused and asked, what then is around your neck? The lady glanced at it and felt abashed. She found a necklace which was never lost. So you are never Shweta, Ami, Madhushri, Lakshmi Narayan. You are ever Atma. So you got to reiterate that in every aspect of your life. That when you do, you can be hypnotized. By constant, unintelligent living, you have hypnotized for so many janmas. If not Janmas, at least this Janma itself. Now, how much more we need to focus on this, assert and negate, so that we dehypnotize ourselves. That's all it is. You got to just look within. Stop and question. Continue.
Life's mission is to discover one's self. To gain the knowledge of self, you need to strive and struggle for it all by yourself. You may take the guidance of savants and saints, but must put in your individual effort. You cannot delegate this responsibility. None other than you can redeem yourself. You are your savior. The oft-quoted pronouncement of the Gita, you must raise yourself by yourself. Therefore, must you work for the self, be devoted to the self. Contemplate upon the self all through life. Spiritual practice is a full-time awareness of the reality, not a part-time ritual.
So when you understand this, you will understand that in my life I need to first achieve the self. Once I know the self, then everything will be fixed in my life. Without knowing myself, I am running around. Like a person lost in a desert, can only get back to the city knowing where the sun rises. Then only she will know the east, west, north, south, etc. So, similarly, we need to find the self for us to lead a peaceful life, happy life, prosperous life. Enjoy both peace and prosperity. Only then is possible. So he says, you need to strive to gain this knowledge of the self and make it your real knowledge. He says, life's mission is to discover oneself. Nothing else is your mission. You have all kinds of goals. Vedanta says, your goal is to realize the self. No other business you have. For that, you can take guidance from many people, guru, etc. But finally, you have to put in the effort. You have to do the sadhana. You cannot delegate this responsibility. Your effort cannot be delegated to somebody else. You can't ask your children or parents to do the sadhana and then you realize this. Not possible. So none other than you can redeem yourself. Udared atmanatmanam, natmanam avasadayet, atmaiva atmano banduhu, atmaiva ripuratmanasa. Your mind alone is your friend, your mind alone is your enemy. You got to lift yourself by yourself, says the Gita. Verse number 5, chapter 6. That's what he quoted. Therefore, you must work for the self, be devoted to the self, contemplate upon the self all through your life. In other words, what he's saying, you have a body, you have a mind, you have an intellect. With the body, you work for the self, not work for money. Let the money be a byproduct. Let the name and fame be the byproduct. Nothing wrong. But let it not become the primary product for which you work. So therefore, he says, your work must be for the self alone. And then devoted to the self, bhakti. Working for the self at the physical level is karma yoga. Devoted to the self is bhakti yoga. Contemplating upon the self all through life. You know, in all through life. For example, you are getting salary, you are getting profit, you are getting bonus, you are getting accolades, all that when it comes. Analyze. Ye sab permanent hai kya? Ye sab kya hai? Which will come and go. Which will come and go. Then, what is permanent? That awareness which is always there. So, you are negating the unreal, asserting the real. That is jnanam. Jnanam is not just opening a book and reading or switching on the YouTube and listening to some spiritual lecture. This, at the body, mind, intellect level, what implement karma, bhakti, jnana. Spiritual practice is a full-time awareness of the reality, not a part-time, pastime ritual or a hobby. You know, once in a while you light a camper, light the agarbatti, and light the lamp and do puja, and then forget about God. No. 24/7, 365 days, you got to assert this reality and negate the and truth. Then the law will come to effect, which is as you think, so shall you become. Then you will become Atma. Continue.
A human being alone has the potential to realize his divine self. No other creature is blessed with such faculty. Hence, one ought to utilize this proprietary power. Human development is measured by spiritual edification, and spiritual unfoldment marks the progress of true civilization. Material wealth, emotional well-being, or secular knowledge have little to do with these. These are no indications of progress in human beings. The so-called advanced nations of the world are far from advanced in the true sense of the term. The much talked of developed countries lack fundamental human development. The present day civilization has gone off the rails. Modern civilized ones without self-development are but intelligent savages living in spiritual slums.
See, nobody is capable of living independently. They become slaves. It becomes a need. So he says the only way of leading that supreme life is becoming independent through self-realization. The human being alone has the potential. No other animal, because they don't have subtle intellect. So our grass intellect itself is not there. Very, minor aspect is there. Rudimentary intellect only they have. Gross intellect. Subtle intellect they don't have only. So only human being has the potential to posit the reality and work for it and realize it. Therefore he says, you must understand that you need to bring in the spiritual edification. Human development is measured by this spiritual edification, not by acquisition. All these people, they go on acquiring and they think they are living a fantastic life. He says, spiritual unfoldment marks the progress of true civilization. Because whoever achieved spiritual unfoldment, they were contented. They were not dependent. That is culture. That is civilization. You know, animals don't have that capacity. They'll kill each other for a meal. And a human being can live civilized, can let go. While the mind is craving, the intellect can control and say, leave it, let go. That is civilization. Now you tell me where that civilization is there. We think civilization is just putting up the tall buildings. And in 1 minute we can destroy everything. Or move from one place to another in such a hurry using the supersonic jets. These are civilizations, or what? This is civilization from the worldly point of view. Real civilized means behaving like a human being. Isn't it? You are in tremendous hunger. But there is somebody who is equally hungry. And there is only little food which is enough for one person. You say, let him eat. Are you able to do that? Then you are civilized. And at least the thought, whether you are able to do it or not, that is civilization. So he is saying, outward civilization we are all fallen for. The real civilization comes when you wake up. You realize the self. Work for it, Jesus. Continue.
The world has been deprived of the essence of civilization. Civilization has come to mean mere material aggrandizement, emotional excitement, and intellectual entrancement. People are enslaved by the glamour of wealth and possession. Even princes and presidents have confined themselves in material compartments with the stench of artificiality and conventionality. Others have succumbed to superficial emotions only to render their minds restless and nervous. Some are lost in the labyrinth of secular knowledges. Humanity gropes in darkness. The world is caught up in a false pomp and show of progress and advancement. Neither the government nor the governed are aware of this stern reality. The salvation of nations and individuals lies in realizing these falsities and awakening to the reality of the true self.
So, he says, humanity gropes in darkness. As a result, they are running after all this material aggrandizement and emotional excitement and intellectual entrancement, which are all paltry, fleeting, temporary, passing. So, not realizing this, we fall for it. So, when you realize the self, it's like the tree developing the roots, going deeper, and nothing can shake it. But it's a very poor compensation. Without strengthening the roots, you're giving support. Similarly, without realizing the self, you're giving support, material wealth support, clubs, membership, you understand? And then relationships, award functions. Nothing wrong in all this. Don't become so pessimistic. Vedanta is not saying like that. All Vedanta is saying is, let them not become an alternative to your roots going deeper. This is what is happening. Roots have not gone deep. Without knowing who you are, you are just trying to find this. And when something shakes there, then you are finished. There is a threat for his name. You say, "Oh, Baba, so much I worked, I can't live in this world. Commit suicide. As my name is, somebody is accused me. Commit suicide. Or run away from that place." So that's why he says, nobody is even aware of this. Strengthening the ability to realize the self. But to get back to that, the salvation of nations and individuals lies part 2 of Kena Upanishad, verse 5 is this. Yacheda veti datta satyamasti. Yachediha veti mahati vinishti. Bhuteshu bhuteshu uchitra diraha pretyasma loka ramatabhavanti. You live a life of satyam, joy, only when you realize the self. Otherwise you are wasting your time. Nashti means loss. Vinashti means great loss. Mahati vinashti means supreme most great loss. You're totally wasting your time, simply collecting name, fame, power, position, family, status, money, instead of going deep and realizing the self. So now that he said you have to realize the self, you have to gain the wisdom, next topic he talks about is how to gain wisdom. That will take it up next week. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Ayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Budhyatmanava Prakate Swabhavat Paromi Yadyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana eti samarpayami. Shri Guru.